So try not to pay any attention to that. I have just a few things to tell you. And because of the nature of the day, I'll cut it short. But it's good to see you in Sunday school this morning. And we are excited. We have some visitors that have come in to be with us. And I've done told them I'll forget their name before I get up here. So let's see. You folks right here. Jim and Tony, and right behind Larry there, Jeffries, okay, and then the Slimps, okay, and so we're glad to have you today, and good to see everyone in Sunday school, okay. Today is our 500 in Sunday school day, so we're praying that that will happen, and we'll get to see some new faces, new folks. And so, good to have you. I would like to say happy birthday to Kiana Dennison this week on the 18th. So, let's see, on 7:30, there's a cancer ministry meeting in the chapel, and so y'all that are involved in that, please try to remember that. Then on Tuesday and Thursday this coming week, there will be Easter Sunday visitation. And so that will be at 6 p.m. each day. And if you can be a part of that, please come out and go with them on visitation, just to invite people to come in on Easter Day. Next Sunday on Easter, there will be three services. A sunrise service out here, weather permitting, in the courtyard at 7 a.m. And then there will be a 9 o'clock a.m. service. It's a full service. And we normally have the 8:45 service, then we have Sunday school, then we have the 11 o'clock service. But this coming Sunday on Easter, it's going to be 7 a.m. for the sunrise service. No Sunday school anywhere in between. We'll have a 9 o'clock service and then 11 o'clock service. So if y'all would remember that, I think the bulletin describes it pretty good. Also on next Sunday evening, we will have the Lord's Supper observed. And that's most of the big announcements, so I'm going to stop right there. You can look at your bulletin to make sure you get everything that's going on over the next week or two. The ladies' Bible study will be on Thursday, April 17th, you ladies that come to that. And then the quilting circle is going to be on April the 19th, next Saturday, there at 1 p.m. in the Family Life Center. So that's most of the announcements, but I do want to say that we have several people that are sick, several people that have had lots of issues. We do want to pray for Bob Daniels. We understand that he's going to Vanderbilt this Wednesday, and let's pray that God will have his will and way there. Also, we're still praying for Leslie Farmer. It's going to be just a little while before we know how that procedure that she had at Vanderbilt panned out. So you keep her and Wade in prayer. Also pray for Brother Larry and Sister Linda. This is their daughter, and we're just praying that God will do a special work there. Talked with Phil this morning, and Debbie is mostly on a roller coaster ride, good days and bad days, so keep Debbie Deacons in your prayers. Miss Frances Lawson fell this week. She was going through her kitchen, and she had an accident and fell. She's got an ankle that's messed up, so y'all pray for her. And then We just want to remember these others on our list. I gave out the little blue sheet to you, so remember them. Each and every one of them are needing prayer. And I do want to mention Roger Cox. Roger is to the point now to where he cannot talk. So pray for him, pray for Sandy, and pray that God will be with them in this time and in this place. So I think that's all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have anything they need to ask prayer for or to let the class know? Anything there? Okay, Brother Rick. Okay, Brother Rick McConnell's got an unspoken request. Anybody else? Lois? Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we're praying for that situation. It's not a good situation, and I don't have any details about it. All I know is they came into the church service and abducted him. And so y'all pray for that situation. His name is Josh Sullivan, and that's in South Africa. So please pray that God will intervene in that situation, that Josh will be returned safely. Yes. An unspoken. Okay. Pat. We're continuing to pray for Pat. She got to come to church the other night. And we did have a wonderful revival service with Joe. And just, you know, it just was wonderful to be here in those services and listen to him explain and teach the way he did. Many things he was brought out. So we thank God for that. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll let Brother Philip get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary for our sins. We thank you for Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you'll bless this class today. Bless Brother Philip as he comes and teaches to us. And then, Lord, I pray for the preaching service at 11 o'clock. Bless our pastor. Give him unction from heaven, Lord. And we pray that you'll touch each and every one that has come out today, dear Lord. Touch their hearts. And, Father, just thank you again for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. If you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and you can put your finger there, and also in Exodus chapter 15, if you would like, and Revelation 22. There are lessons within lessons in the Bible, and I would like to look at an example of that. I do plan to apply it to our lesson in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But first, I would like to look at something that we see in the Scriptures. And then we'll come back to Exodus 15 and look at another lesson within that. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now, if you'll drop down to verse 17, we see something else about this tree. "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So we have two trees here, one a tree of life, and the other a tree of death. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Lord talking to the Pharisees, he said, "And you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." That beginning is where we just read, Genesis chapter 2. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. In the garden, the devil was set on one thing, murder. He could not do this himself. He had to use the only weapon that was available to him, a tree. But the only way that that tree could be used against the man was if he voluntarily chose that tree, correct? To choose that tree was to reject the tree of life. That's very important. Now, this tree shows up again in Exodus chapter 15, if you're there, in verse 23. "And when they came to Marah," well, let me drop back to 22. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." Eden is far, far behind. And we find these people in what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:10, a waste, howling wilderness. And the water of life is so bitter that it cannot be drunk. This water, by the way, if we use John 7, 38 and 39, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." So here we have the Spirit of God so bitter to this world, to the men of this world, that they cannot drink of his blessings. Isn't that amazing? John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, a Comforter to us. But what is he to the world?" The next verse. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come." Oh, the world, that's too bitter for the world, amen? They don't like such truths, do they not? They cannot drink of this Spirit. It's too bitter for them. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, "And the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always" what? "Strive." This is what the Spirit of God does with sinful men, amen? What does it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7? "For the mystery of iniquity doth already now work," Satan, the Antichrist, "only he who now hindereth. This is the Holy Spirit hindering the work of Satan. But one day he'll be taken out of the way, and the man of sin will be revealed. The world will go headlong into sin. And we see in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 24, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" This is what we see in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Have you ever gone out to witness and preach the word to people, witness to them, and they said, don't preach to me. I don't want to hear this. Why? The Spirit of God's dealing with them, and it's very bitter to them. Amen. Men love darkness rather than light. Notice also in Exodus chapter 15, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. This is so much like John 1, verse 10. He was in the world, that tree, in that waste, howling wilderness. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They could not see. There was the tree. There's the water that they cannot drink. There's the tree, but they could not see the tree. Isn't that exactly like this world today? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They cannot see that tree that is their hope. What has to happen before that water, the Holy Spirit, is able to bring blessing to those people? That tree had to what? Be cut down. That tree had to die and be cast into the waters. When this tree dies and is cast into the waters, now the Holy Spirit, based on that sacrifice, is able to bring life to those people. The water is now a blessing based on the death of that tree. And so here we saw in Genesis the tree rejected. Here we see the tree cut down. But in Revelation, what do we see? In Revelation 22, and in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We see this tree again in Revelation there in the New Jerusalem, as it were resurrected again and bringing life to everyone forevermore. The tree flourishing. So this is a type of Christ, amen? A wonderful type of our Savior, rejected in the garden by our first parents, there in a waste, howling wilderness, cut down, bringing life to those in that desert, you and me, amen? And then in that eternity in the future, that tree is there again, our Savior giving life forevermore. What a wonderful example. No, a wonderful type. But I would like to look at Exodus 15, because there's another lesson in Exodus 15 that we overlooked. We didn't say everything that there was to say about this one passage. So let me go back to that if I could, because it has an important lesson for us. In John chapter 10, and this dovetails with our lesson in James chapter 1. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord said this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill." That's what we see there going on in the garden. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, we have been studying James chapter 1. And in verse number 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Oh, and there's many of them, is there not? Manifold temptations. But in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life." I have come that they might have life, but they might have it, and that they might have it more abundantly. So how do we get from James chapter 1, verse 2, all the way to James chapter 1, verse 12, to that crown of life. Like Jesus said, to that abundant life. Notice with me, if you would, Exodus chapter 15. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. That he made for them, he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. A statute and an ordinance here at this bitter water. What was the truth? What was the law that God instituted in this example right here? Notice, if you would, before I mention that, in verse 27. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Did you see that there? I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So here they come to Marah. It is so bitter that they cannot drink of it. And they murmur and complain. And God does a miracle here. And after they have gone through Marah, by the way, who's leading them, by the way? God is. After they have gone to Marah, they come to an abundance of water. And he instituted a statute, an ordinance, something that was to be a truth that they should understand and would be the way God would work in his people's life, and he still works in ours, evidently, because that's what we see in James chapter 1. That before abundant life comes bitter water. I wish it was some other way. Amen, don't you? It's an ordinance. It's a statute that he established right here and left for you and I so that we could know how God himself brings abundant life. Now, we need to let that sink in a little bit, I think, because we don't like this at all. Amen? There's nothing pleasant about diverse temptations and manifold temptations and bitter water in a land that's dry, a waste, howling wilderness. But there it is. Our great God led them those 3 days in that desert with no water and brings them right here to the bitter waters of Marah. And there he established a statute and an ordinance. Now, I'm trying to help you count it all joy. I know it's difficult. It's very difficult when we're in difficulties, when we're there by bitter waters, to count it all joy. But how do we do that? Well, number one is we have to realize that this is the way of our God. Now, that ought to give us some comfort, amen? That our God is not mistreating us. It might seem like it. We talked about that in falling into temptation 3 or 4 weeks ago. It seems like to us that we're falling. We talked about that at length and how it seems like circumstances just have us in their control. We're falling, but we're not. God is leading us. right on up to those bitter waters, because he wants to do something for us. Now, what is it that they needed to do? Exodus chapter 15 again, verse 24. And the people murmured. Boy, don't we do that sometimes when we have diverse temptations? Amen. I have. It's terrible. It's terrible to go through difficulties. And we have a tendency to chafe under them. And the people murmured. And the Lord showed, and he cried unto the Lord, verse 25, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, folks, in the middle of all our bitterness, if we're not praying, we're never going to see the remedy. We have got to pray our way through difficulties. If we don't, we're going to get bitter. We'll never see that tree. Because I'm here to tell you that what this teaches us isn't just that we must face bitter times in our life. What it teaches us is that Christ is with us in our troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations. So there it is again, trouble, afflictions, divers temptations. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Aren't there a bunch of them? Gosh, there are. That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. But the comfort wherewith we ourselves, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now here's the important verse, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Isn't that the most unbelievable statement? For as the sufferings of Christ. Wait a minute. I thought his sufferings were all done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Do you know that when you suffer, your Savior suffers with you? Isn't that what we see in this ordinance? Christ is cut down, that tree is cut down and thrown into their bitter waters. You and I must learn to go through our troubles with Christ, because we need to realize that he's suffering with us. The sufferings of Christ have not ended. Do you know why? Because he's suffering with you. He not only cares, he feels what you feel. The sufferings of Christ abound in us. Now, not only should we have counted all joy because God leads us this way, but we should count it all joy because he's with us in our suffering. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But our Savior cares so much that it's a pain to him, the pain that you're going through. It's his sufferings. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. All I know is what it says. Amen. There it is. The sufferings of Christ that abound in us. You and I are called upon to suffer. There's too many verses in the Bible that teach us that. But in all of that, there is in time an abundant life. If we, let me go back to James chapter 1. Oh gosh, my blessed, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. So part of the counting it all joy is realizing that the sovereign God leads us into trouble. Now, I'm not a fatalist, folks, at all. You and I don't believe in fate, amen? And because God is sovereign does not mean that you and I can just go, well, God's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway, so I might as well not pray. I mean, it's going to happen because God's sovereign. That's fatalism, correct? You and I do not believe in a God like that. Even though he does have dominion, even though he is sovereign, what it teaches us is that nothing can happen to us that God does not plan for us. This is Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We have to believe that. That means that God is sovereign. He not only leads us into it, he has a design in it for our good. Isn't that what we've been trying to learn in James chapter 1? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. He does not afflict willingly. What does it say in 1 Peter? If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If need be. And he has a reward for all of those that will go through it with him. A crown of life. I'm not sure what that means. All I know is it sounds good to me. I know what Jesus said in John 10. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do we want that abundant life? Are we willing to let God lead us wherever and to do for us whatever is his will and let him have his way with us? If we do, if we endure temptations, troubles, afflictions, God can bring us to a place of abundance in our Christian lives. And that's worth going through, is it not? He says in Psalms, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. Here it is. And thou shalt glorify me. Part of this going through trouble is so that you can see God's hand helping you in it. And you give glory to God because he was able to help you in that. Now, folks, I can't count for you. Count it all joy. I can't do that. All we can do is look at these examples in Scripture, and each one of us has to do our own counting. Amen? I don't know your troubles. I don't know how difficult they are. I don't know how painful they are. They can be very painful. I can't tell you, count it joy. You need to count it joy. I can't do that. But also, I can't count for you You've got to do that yourself, each and every one of us, where we find ourselves at the bitter waters, right? Right. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for these people and their attention this morning. I hope I've done a good job in helping them see the purpose of afflictions and how they can, in time, count it all joy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.